Our text is verse 29 of Mark chapter 7. And he said unto her, "For this saying, go thy way, the devil is gone out of thy daughter." This is a transition time in the Lord's ministry. He has been very successful as a teacher and as a miracle worker, but his glory is being somewhat clouded by the opposition of his enemies. He has appeared to Herod, and Herod has become very suspicious of him and jealous of him. The Pharisees just don't seem to be able to hide their hostility and their hatred of him. Even the common people that who once were so enamored with him have begun to take offense at some of his messages and some of his actions, and it's more difficult for him to be concealed than it ever has been. But a great physician like this can never go unnoticed in a world full of suffering people. The Lord, it tells us at the beginning of our scripture reading, came into the borders of Tyre and Sidon, and when he comes there, a woman comes to the house where he is, a pagan woman, a woman outside of God's covenant people, and she comes there begging for mercy, not for herself, but for her daughter who is demon-possessed. The Lord responds to her request with a rather cold response, but her humble reply moves his heart. I want to bring you a message tonight, if the Lord will help me, that I have titled, "The Children's Bread Cast to Dogs." There's a lot in this passage of Scripture. Let me begin by talking about this woman. She has a compassionate heart. She has a mother's heart. And God has given her faith. She doesn't know it yet, but God has given her faith that brings her to Jesus for help. She evidently has recognized that every other medium of assistance in her culture is a waste of time against this problem of demon possession. This woman, this Syrophoenician woman, has no attachment to the children of Israel. They could claim Abraham as their father and the patriarchs as their father, and the God of Israel as their hope, but this woman was a Syrophoenician. She is the second person of her nation to seek mercy from Israel's God. Back at 1 Kings 17:22, it says, "The Lord heard the voice of Elijah, and the soul of the child came unto him again. He revived, and Elijah took the child and brought him down out of the chamber into the house and delivered him unto his mother. And Elijah said, See, thy son liveth." This woman had been used of God to feed the prophet, but her son had died. She began to mourn, and Elijah said, "That's okay, I'll take care of it." And he did. This woman is also spoken of here and in Matthew as being a Canaanite and a Syrian. Tells us in verse 26 that she was a Greek, Syrophoenician by nation, and she besought him that we'd cast forth the devil out of her daughter. She was a descendant of the original Canaanites, who were just Gentiles. They were hated by the Jews, and they hated the Jews. They were one of those tribes of people that God drove out of the land with a herd of hornets. And her nation had been marked by God's judgment and God's vengeance throughout the Old Testament record. They were constantly in battles and they were constantly losing. She was a Phoenician, and they worshipped a god who was called Ashtoreth, and she was called the Queen of Heaven. But the Queen of Heaven couldn't help her problem, so now she comes to the King of Heaven and to find help. Her background was one of sin and infamy. She was not a religious woman. She was not a spiritual woman. She was not a righteous woman. But this woman came to Jesus heavily aware of her own state, but seeking mercy from God. And I tell you, that's the way sinners come to God. They come to God knowing who they are and what they are, and knowing that they don't deserve God's mercy, knowing that they don't deserve a thing from God, but still hoping that He might be pleased to show them mercy. She's also referred to as a Greek, as a pure Gentile, and as a pagan. She has no physical connection at all to the covenant of Abraham, to the Jewish covenant. She has no Hebrew blood. She has no Hebrew relatives. She's not a proselyte of the Hebrew faith. She just left out. She's one of very few pagans to be blessed by our glorious Master. Now, the disciples were used greatly to bless Gentiles, but the Lord of glory touched very few of them. We just talked a week or two ago about the centurion of Capernaum and how Christ showed mercy to him. And now this woman comes, this Syrophoenician woman, this Greek woman, this Gentile. And she's attracted to him by his character, by his ability. You know, there's some people you're just attracted to by who they are and what they are more than what they do. And I was telling Patsy that I've always admired her granddaughter because she's always just been a little tomboy and just as sweet as she could be. Always just been so lovable. And she was so pretty last night on television. This woman had no connection to Jesus. She had no reason to have any hope. But the woman had a reason for coming to appeal to Jesus. She had a daughter. And she was possessed. And that's a problem. And not a word is said about any kind of physical or mental disturbance. People who were demon-possessed in the Bible, some of them had physical reactions. Remember the man who lived in the graves and broke the chains and they couldn't tie him up or anything like that. And some of them have mental disturbances. They're just insane and they act crazy. Nothing is said about this girl in that respect. Demon possession is oftentimes displayed in degrees of misery. Today, we have so many people in our world, in our culture, that live on pills and live on medicine and live on psychiatrist advice, and nobody knows what's wrong with them. I think I do. I believe that demon possession is just as active today as it was in Jesus' day and in the Old Testament. And there are many people who just appear to have some mental problem or emotional problem, and it's demon possession. When her mother met this great healer, She only asked for one thing. She besought him that he would cast forth the devil out of her daughter. That's all she wanted. She didn't ask a thing for herself, you know. You imagine, there used to be a story about a king that kept two big containers of jewels beside his throne, and people would come, and if he was honored by their presence, he'd say, just help yourself, take all you can carry away, you know. Some people would take just a few, or one or two, or wouldn't take any. Some people would come, they'd load up and take a load. He didn't care. He had more than he knew what to do with. This woman came to the Lord of glory. He could do anything. He could give her anything. All the things that Satan tempted him with, he had the capacity to give to her. But she wanted one thing. She wanted her daughter to be whole. Some of us who have children know something about that. You know, I've been through that with my oldest son when he was a small child. He had a hole between the chambers of his heart, and the doctors had no hope for him. They said, we'll try to do surgery on him if we can keep him alive long enough, but it's not, prospects aren't good. But we went to every kind of doctor you could imagine. That was the only thing we wanted. We wanted our son to be whole. This woman called Jesus Lord. That was high praise. That was a high title. She also called him the Son of David. She recognized him to be a prophet of God, a teacher from God. And she called Jesus Israel's Messiah and asked him to help her daughter who was in need. She displays her affection for this child. You know, we parents, sometimes we're foolish. We really are sometimes. I've seen parents do more foolish things for their children. If it's not you, you look at them and you say, they're crazy. They're just out of their mind. But if it's you, you know how she felt. This woman seeks mercy for her child and for herself, because if her child is healed, then she's better too. That demonism might have been a judgment for sin. A lot of demon possession is. It's God's judgment upon untoward souls. It's judgment for some sin, theirs or somebody else's. This woman sought mercy. And more than that, she sought deliverance. Cast that devil out of my daughter. Her cry to help me also was a cry to help her. Because there wasn't any helping me without helping her. Her request was a fulfillment of this royal law of mercy that we find in this book from Genesis to Revelation. But when she asked Jesus this question, she got a chilly reception. Look at verse 27. But Jesus said unto her, let the children first be filled, for it is not meet to take the children's bread and to cast it unto the dogs. Now initially, he did not respond to her pleas or to any others. In verse 24, it tells us that he wanted to be alone, and he didn't want anybody to know he was there. And he went into a house. But he couldn't hide. And this woman must have been surprised when the Lord said, I can't give you anything. I'm here to bless the children of God. I can't give the children's bread to a dog. His attitude seemed so strange. And his reception was probably different from what she'd heard about him. She'd heard about this great teacher, this man who raises the dead and makes the blind to see and the deaf to hear and the crippled to walk. And she comes to him and says, "Please cast this demon out of my daughter." And he said, "I can't give the children's bread to dogs." She'd probably seen him do miracles. She'd certainly heard about it. He healed others who came to him from the same place she did, from Tyre and Sidon. In Luke 6:17, it says he came down with them and stood in the plain in the company of his disciples, and a great multitude of people of all Judea and Jerusalem from the sea coast of Tyre and Sidon, which came to hear him and to be healed of their diseases. These Canaanite deities, they disregarded all human frailties. The Canaanite gods, they believed they were superior beings who just, they kind of made people as objects of pity. They could look on them and they could, like playing a chessboard or checkerboard. I know I was smart enough to play chess. I played checkers. But they had no regard for people. They really didn't care. She wondered if the Son of Man would show that kind of power to her daughter. She said, "Cast forth the devil out of her." His patience and his supplicants usually were healed as soon as he spoke. But the girl's not even here. We don't know exactly where she lived, but wherever she lived, that's where the daughter was. And she had come to find Jesus and never said a word to him about coming to her house. But he remained silent. And she was to learn that his frowning face oftentimes hid a smile. I used to know a fellow when I was a little boy. Lived down the street from us, and that was the grouchiest old man I ever knew in my life. And as I got older and was around more and got to know him better, I found that he was the nicest fellow you could expect. He just didn't like to be bothered with children. And that's okay. But because he was omniscient, because he knew everything, he knew all about this woman. He knew who she was. He knew what she was. He knew about her daughter. He knew about her country. He knew about her problems. He knew about his disciples who lived with him every day and they were afraid to talk to him. And he knew about their failures. Sometimes they'd say to him, "Master, we don't understand this. We can't cast this demon out." He'd say, "Oh, you're just not strong enough." He knew Abraham's faith in his trials. Abraham was tried. God came to Abraham and said, "Go to a land that I'll show you." He said, "Just walk." Didn't tell him where he was going. Didn't tell him how long he's going to walk. Just told him to go. He said, "I'll bless you like you've never been blessed before." And Abraham walked a long time and a long way. And he never found that land. But he died believing God. This woman comes to Jesus and she doesn't know much about him. And she doesn't think that he knows much about her. But she knows what's wrong with her. This woman was not shaken easily. This was her only hope. I'm sure she'd tried other things. She'd been to witch doctors and religious practitioners and this, that, and the other, and nobody was able to help her daughter. And so she comes to Jesus all the way from Tyre and Sidon and said, "Cast this demon out of my child." But the more she was rejected, the closer she got to him. It's more clear in Matthew's version, if you'll read it sometime, but the disciples got tired of her. And they came to the Lord and they said, send her away. She's just aggravating. She's just too much trouble. Because of her persistence, she wouldn't be quiet. She said, my daughter needs to have these demons cast out of her. But Jesus ignored his whining disciples just as he had the woman. He intends to bless her in free grace in his own time and in his own way. You know, his mission was to be the master. His mission was to bring truth to the Gentiles. I'm currently reading the book of Acts in the morning and seeing how God moved in the lives of Peter and Simon and Saul and those men. See how God works. As a Gentile, this woman had no claim on Christ. No claim. But he has mercy. I say that's your hope, and that's my hope. I might not have any claim on him, and you might not have any claim on him, but I tell you, he's the Lord of glory, and he's the master of mercy, and if you need mercy, he's the one to go to. Now, there's an apparent contradiction in this story, because he says to her, it's not right to give the children's food to dogs. And she answered him and said, yes, Lord, but the dogs under the table eat of the children's crumbs. He comes as the promised seed in which all people can be blessed. You know, the Lord Jesus came to be the Savior of the world. Not of every person in the world, but of the world, of Jews and Gentiles and people of all kinds and all orders and all degrees. His passion and his resurrection would reveal his perfect salvation. His personal ministry was one of great and wise and righteous ends. The Spirit was going to be poured out on both the Jews and the Gentiles. Here, he's dealing with a Gentile. And here we find a most impressive change. He declared that the children have to be fed first. And God spoke to the children of Israel first. The Gospels are the account of the preaching of the Gospel to the children of Israel. In the book of Acts, we find the Gospel being directed to the children of the world. This woman keeps pleading. She said, you're right, I'm a dog. But the dogs get the crumbs from the master's table. That's all I want, a few crumbs. She was outside the family circle of Israel, but she wasn't outside the circle of divine faith. This child of the Gentiles is a symbol of God's mercy. And he applied the terms of his age to this humble woman. Now the Lord Jesus said to her, it's not fit to take the children's bread and cast it unto the dogs. The word that he uses there is a very special word. In Israel, They didn't raise dogs. They didn't have domestic dogs. There were dogs, half wolves, and mixed with other dogs and stuff, and they ran the country, and they were fierce. You had to, when you traveled, you had to be aware of these dogs and be conscious of what they could do, and they were destructive and violent. But the word he uses here is a word that we would call puppies. When the Romans came into the land, The Romans were infatuated with dogs, with pets, dogs. And they brought their dogs with them. And they were seen throughout Capernaum and Jerusalem and other major cities. The Roman soldiers and their families who lived there would all have these dogs. And they were special dogs. They were treated pretty good. Treated better than most of the people were. And the word that Jesus used here describes a family having a meal together. And the dogs are hanging around the bottom of the table and the children are raking the crumbs off. Now, I don't know if you all ever had your children give food to dogs, but we have had. I think it was green beans. David Wayne didn't like green beans when he was a little boy. We always had a dog around. They'd hang right around his chair and he'd get them beans and give them to the dog. The dogs grew up on beans. Johnny wouldn't eat anything but hot dogs and hamburgers. He wasn't sharing them. They were like that. He did not call her a dog in the sense of those curs that roam the streets. But he echoed the disciples' thoughts. They were Jews. And they used the term dog to apply to Gentiles. But this woman was not discouraged by what Jesus said. Now, I have to admit to you, if you call me a dog, it'll probably make me mad. And I like dogs. But she draws the sweetness out of what other people thought was bitterness. The Lord's reply had been harsh enough to turn others aside. There were times when the Lord spoke to people and they went away. A fellow said, I'm going to go with you. He said, good, come on. The birds have a nest and the foxes have a den. We don't have any idea where we're going to sleep tonight, but you can come if you want to. Another fellow said, I want to go, but I got to go home and see my parents first. He told the parable about the one fellow had bought some oxen. He had to go try them out. And another fellow had some more business he had to take care of. And there was one fellow, he said, I just took a wife and I need to go home and say goodbye to her. This woman's love for her child had softened her heart. I have to confess to you that I don't like children the way most people do. But little kids just get to me. They just really do. They're just so cute. And she changed these dissuasive words of our Lord into good news. She said, you can't give the children's bread to the dogs, but the dogs get the crumbs. I just want crumbs. In her response, there's a very clear understanding of our Lord's heart. She did not reject the divine answer that Christ gave her as did Naaman. You remember Naaman in the Old Testament? He had leprosy and the little girl who'd been a captive told the king, there's a fellow down in Israel, he'd touch him, he'd be healed in a minute. He sent him down there with all his soldiers and camels full of gold and silver and garments and so on, and sent somebody up to knock on the door, and Elijah came out. He said, they told me you could heal me of leprosy. And he said, well, go down there to the Jordan River and dip in it 7 times and you'll be clean. He said, are you crazy? And he named 2 or 3 rivers they have over in Mesopotamia. And he said, well, they're a lot better rivers. They're clear and water's clear, plenty of water. I don't want to get in that Jordan River. It's just a little wide creek. Went in the house and shut the door. And one of his servants said to him, Master, if he'd asked some great thing of you, you'd have done it. Maybe you ought to do what he says. And he went down to the Jordan River and he dipped in that muddy water. And he came up whole. The Lord of glory says to this woman, you can't have children's bread. She said, I don't want the children's bread, I just want the crumbs. That's a blessed story. She admitted that she was a dog, had no claims on his goodness. But she said, I'm sitting here with the dogs and I'm underneath the master's table. I just want a few crumbs, if you could sprinkle them down for me. Her heart heard his positive attitude. And she submitted to him. She sought not to change his desires or his purposes. That's a problem with most people that are trying to find religion in our world. They want to change God. They want to change his purpose. They want to change his desire. They want to change his design. You can't change God's design. She was a Gentile and she should not be excluded because of her needs. Now the Jews hated the Gentiles. They called them dogs. They said, God won't do anything for you. Taking the dog's place, she said to the master, just give me a few crumbs. Her response was perfect, and it prevailed with the Lord of glory. And he turned to the woman because of her faith and because of his delight, and he rewarded her with a great cure. Christ's reply honored her faith and her humble boldness. He said unto her, this saying, go thy way, the devil is gone out of thy daughter. He answered her request. Her daughter was free. The demon was cast out. Her attitude teaches us a lot about perseverance in prayer. Sometimes prayer has to go on for a long time. Not that God didn't hear it the first time. Not that he changes his mind. But he changes us. He changes us. I learned more about prayer when my wife was dying than I'd ever learned in my life. I'd prayed for people. Prayed sincerely. I sat there with that woman for 69 days and prayed for her. She didn't change, but I did. God will change your mind. He'll show you his way. He commended her for her faithful request. And then the Lord of glory opened the treasure house of grace. He said unto her, for this saying, go thy way, the devil is gone out of thy daughter. And when she was come to her house, she found the devil gone out and her daughter laid upon the bed. Good news. Good news. Her humble faith had won her the Lord's highest praise. He tried her faith by his silence and by his discouraging tone. Her faith had to rest on something. And it rested on what she had heard and seen of his power. He makes a profound statement to this woman. In the last part of verse 29, the devil has gone out of thy daughter. He's the Lord of glory. The Lord of glory. And he bowed to this woman's requests. He never saw her daughter. Never saw her. But he healed her. Long distance, if you will. Christ willed the girl's healing, and it was done. The mother was the connection between her disabled daughter, her demon-possessed daughter, and the Lord Jesus Christ, that healing physician. When my sister was a small child, she was playing on the porch of our apartment on the third floor. And she and the little girl were playing, and they got rambunctious, and the little girl pushed her off the porch. And she fell 3 stories and landed on her head. Fractured her skull. She doesn't, it's one reason she's so loud, she doesn't hear well. And I remember going to the hospital and sitting in the car, and my parents were in there. And we could hear her screaming outside. And I'd never known my parents to pray. And in desperation, they prayed that day. And for some reason, God was pleased to let her live. If the Lord wills a healing to take place, it's going to take place. Makes no difference what doctors say. This mother was the connection. She was one of the sheep from outside that Jewish flock. She was his first convert from heathenism. The Spirit of God entered her soul and it changed her heart. The secret of her blessing is not in her. It's not in her faith. It's not in her courage. Not in her humility. It's in the Lord of glory. If you have hope tonight, it's in the Lord of glory. We have no claim on God except justice. His blessings are all mercy. All mercy. No desert at all in us. It's just Him. He said unto her, "For this saying, go thy way, the devil has gone out of thy daughter." This broken-hearted and compassionate mother came to the only help there was. She might have been amazed, but she wasn't turned away by the Lord's silence and by the harshness of His words. But the compassionate Lord of glory attends to her need and sends her away in peace and in pardon to tend to her daughter. I love this 30th verse. When she was come to her house, she found the devil gone out and her daughter laid upon the bed. I think about that woman from the time the Lord spoke to her and told her to go home. Her faith told her it's done. Must have been a tragic trip from Tyre and Sidon down to where she met him. But it was a joyous trip on the way home. Because God's on His throne. And what He aims to do, He does. Amen.